provided with adequate safety equipment. But according to the workers' management, FlexNGate has not provided the employees with the equipment to do so. To reduce overhead, OSHA mandated safety equipment has been replaced with inexpensive and ineffective substitutes. For instance, workers allege that they receive paper dust masks to protect them from fumes rather than respirators. In addition, while OSHA requires that employees who come in contact with hexavalent chromium be provided with proper cleaning facilities to rid their body of the chemical, management at FlexNGate has failed to provide this, in effect exposing not only the employees' families to the carcinogen, but also the entire Urbana-Champaign community. The gravity of this situation does not end with the working conditions. In order to demand their rights as workers and as human beings, the employees have made numerous attempts at unionizing with the assistance of the UAW. But their efforts have been largely thwarted through management's invidious tactics. To foster resentment, management has intentionally divided jobs within the plant to favor employees of certain ethnicities. The workforce is comprised of a third Congolese, a third Latino, and a third native residents of the United States. According to the UAW, the Congolese workers are assigned the most heinous and dangerous tasks. It comes as no surprise then that the Congolese are the ethnic group most in favor of the union, followed by the Latinos and then the U.S. natives. Draconian retaliation has been management's response to these audacious whistleblowers and union advocates. According to these workers, they were denied overtime, protective equipment, and contract-guaranteed medical care for vocalizing their desire to unionize. Mr. Khan's affiliation with the university is no secret. He's amongst the most distinguished and generous donors. But the unfortunate irony is that Mr. Khan has donated $10 million for the new health sciences addition to Huff Hall, while failing to provide the bare necessities for the health of his workers. But I'm not here to denigrate the moral character of Mr. Khan. What I'm here to do is request an action from the board. The board must issue a public statement vehemently urging Mr. Khan to ensure the safe working conditions and to respect the rights of his self-determined workers. If he does not do so, the university should refuse to accept his donations, deny him any awards, and remove his name from the faculties which he has already donated. The University of Illinois' mission is to transform lives, serve society by educating, creating knowledge, and putting knowledge to work on a large scale and with excellence. But with the acceptance of Mr. Khan's donations, the university is directly contradicting what it espouses. We cannot accept the hypocrisy of housing a master's in public health program in a building that is built upon the backs of poisoned workers. The university, if it is to uphold its ethical standard, the decision to act and act immediately should require no contemplation. Thank you.
You know, we've had a series of speakers over the years, and generally I don't comment after they've spoken, but I'm moved to comment today. I've had all sorts of things said about me personally from the podium, and I'm prepared to listen to that, principally because I think it's an honor to be associated with the University of Illinois. I do think, though, that it's appropriate to ask Tom Barrows to review the rules of the public comment session to make sure that the comments are appropriate and that we are not simply providing a forum to critique, criticize, lambast people who are not here to defend themselves. And I will do that, and I'll respond to all of you when I know more. Our next speaker is Tyler Roach.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak here today. I'm Tyler Roach. I'm a student here at the university in environmental science and media coordinator for UIUC Biancol. We've come here today with two sets of concerns. The first come from the student body, which based on our collection of over 2,000 petitions, we feel we represent a significant portion. The second set comes from a coalition of investment researchers across the country both agree that coal is not